There is a, now we're just beginning to learn about it. Scientists have taken a long time to come to the conclusion that there are certain sounds that affect our bodies. A lot of times it was negative. People wouldn't come to church because the drums hurt my heart. And you know, I that bass just hurts my heart and I can't be there. Okay. But there are certain sounds that affect the way that we are. Ladies, when your beau comes through the door and says, "I love you," there's something happens physically on the inside of you. When we are willing to stand up and from the bottom of our hearts sing out, "I am no longer a slave to fear."
Yes, yes.
There is something happens on the inside of me. And what it is the Spirit of God that dwells within me that says, "I am a child of God." I am a child of God. Why? You know why you're a child of God. You know the moment that you gave everything to God in Jesus Christ. You became a child. Said it before, it's a lie out of hell that you hear so many times out there in the world. Oh, we're all just children of God. No, we're not. Those who have come to the cross, come to God through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, those are children of God. And when your heart gets all, I don't know what the theological term is, maybe it's a twitter, maybe that's a good theological term for it. When your heart gets all a twitter, it's the Spirit of God on the inside of you witnessing, "You are my child." I love that song. You guys did such a bang-up job on it. Bless your hearts. Amen. Today, before you leave, find one of these fine musicians and throw your arms around them and love them and tell them, "I just love what you do." Amen? You promise? If you would, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of James. And I don't know if we can get some computer help here, because I think we're going to be looking at several scriptures today, important scriptures, because I'm going to give you, let me take that back. I've been praying all morning that the Spirit of God gives you an insight into something that's going to make you wicked powerful against the devil. So open your ears, take out your earphones. I'll get louder if you can't hear. But open your heart and let God speak to your heart this morning. In the Gospel of James. Wait a minute. There ain't no Gospel of James. Yes, there is. It's all gospel. It's all good news. Although, I would have probably been happier had they might have left James out and just filled it in with something else. Because we're going right at the place that it's hard for people. Yeah? Blessed is the man in chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now right there, if you want, you can circle that and out in the margin of your Bible write trial. Because that's what it's actually saying. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And listen to this. Let no one say it with me. Let no one say, when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. I want to make this technical, I guess you were. The word temptation in verse 12 is different than the word temptation in verse 13. The word in verse 12 can mean, and probably more accurately means, tried. The trials that we go through, that we should endure them, because we're going to be blessed. We're going to receive for enduring those trials. But in verse 13, we're talking about pure old temptation. Let no one say, and he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. God is holy. Temptation for God, it's an oxymoron. It cannot happen. Amen. Nor does he tempt anyone. But each one, say that with me, each one, or in another paraphrase, for I am tempted when I am drawn away by my own desires and enticed. Then when that desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Vicky could tell us about the chain of infection. There is a chain that goes from corruption on your hands, germs on your hands, dirt on your hands. And if not dealt with, when you put your hands in your eyes or your finger in your mouth, that chain, each little link in that chain, may lead to infection. That's why in the wintertime, it's so, you've heard me say this a million times, I'm going to keep saying it, you are not going to get a cold by going outside with your hair wet. It don't happen. What happens is when the brother comes in from outside, and then comes in and says, how you doing, sister? God bless you. And then you go home and you say, oh, I cried that service. That's where it comes from. But in that chain of infection, and you can ask Vicky, she'll verify this. You can break that chain at any link, and that infection will not happen. You can break the chain by going washing your hands. You can break the chain by getting some of that gooey stuff on your hands. You can break the chain by saying, brother, I'd love to hug you, but I'm not feeling good. You can break the chain, and the infection's not going to come. So is it with the scripture that we just read. There is a progressive thing that happens. There are seven steps. There are seven links in the chain. When I'm tempted, the very thought enters my mind. It's not sin yet. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, he's the one that said, I finally found out, he said, you cannot stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can sure stop them from building a nest in your hair. Temptation is going to affect every man.
Yes.
The devil knows what works. He's not that brilliant. He just knows what works. My wife knows that throw a little bleach in with the white stuff and they come out whiter. That's not golly gee, Mr. Wizard. That's just, she knows that's what happened. Temptation for you is as common as the air that you breathe. What we've got to watch, and one of the things that we need to break in that chain, is realize what it is that tempts us, and don't go there. If you cannot resist an apple fritter, and your panza is going through the door 1 second before you do, stay out of the bakery. Don't go there. The thought of evil, but it's not a sin yet. But the Bible says we are drawn away. This is a very interesting word. This has a fishing connotation. In the Greek, it talking about, it's like me standing in that river and throwing out a fly. I know that fly is nothing but feathers and a hook. I know that. But I want, it's something that looks like what the fish wants. It's not the real deal, but it's something that the fish would like to have. And if I've done my job and I've made the right colors, the right size, I put that cast out there in the water where I see the fish is, the greatest thing you can do is sight fish. And you look in the water and you see that fish out there finning like this, and you lay that fly up ahead of you and bring it right down over the top, and you see it come up off the bottom, bam, grab it. Well, man, you know, it's kind of cool. I'm not, the fish ain't as smart as I am, but it makes me feel pretty good anyway, you know. It isn't the real thing, but it's something that he wants. Brothers and sisters, temptation is like that. There are things out there. They are not the real thing. There is no joy in a lot of things. There is no happiness in a lot of things. There is no fulfillment in a lot of things. Brother, I'm telling you, I have been there, and I have bought every t-shirt that there was made. And I'm telling you, there are things out there that aren't the real deal. This is the real deal. When you stand and your eyes are dripping water and you know that God's in the house and you are literally grabbing a hold of His hand, Him saying, I love you, and you saying, Father, I love you back. That's the real deal.
Yes, it is.
Let me go out on a limb here, but I believe this with all my pea-picking heart. This is not real. The home that you will go to is not reality. The job that you will go to tomorrow, it's not reality. This is only something in between, or a weak, it's like a tied fly. We build it just like I build a fly. Reality comes when Jesus comes back and says, come up here with me, or we breathe our last and we open up our eyes.
Hallelujah.
Then reality kicks in. That's reality. The spirit world is the reality. The ability, the blessing, like in Sunday school today, of seeing someone saying, in my body, I'm not doing well. And people standing up by, not because they have any power. I get cut sometimes having, boy, I'm going down a rabbit trail. Just bear with my mind for a minute. It bothers me when I hear people say, well, he's got a healing ministry. No, he just functions in that gift a little bit better than anybody else. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a healing ministry.
Yes, you do.
And it comes not because you are a healer. It comes because you have faith in what God says. God says, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. I am someplace, I don't even know where I am. But I know it's the truth. Hallelujah. Let me paddle back to where I'm supposed to be. Okay, the fishing stuff just kind of got all over me. The Bible says that we are drawn away by His own desires. Your Bible may say lust. Lust. Looking at something. Knowing I've got to have that, I don't know what it. I don't care what it costs me. That's why Jesus said this. You have heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he that looketh after a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already. Why did he say that? He knows what goes on in the guy's mind. And in 2017, in a girl's mind. There is an inordinate evil desire for something that you will pay any price to get. Now, I don't know about you, but I have lusted after a lot of things in my life. I'm willing to say, I'll sell that one so I can get this one. But that one's already paid for. You're going to have to pay more when you get this. I'll just trade it in. My wife's not here right now, but she would probably say, yeah, he's right. He's just lusting after that. It's an inordinate desire. I'm probably cheapening the word, but you know what I mean. But lust, when you are drawn away for self-gratification, for self-desire, and you are enticed, a weakening of your will. This is where the devil knows what to do. The devil isn't brilliant. You have just showed him time and again and time and again and time and again. This is what it takes to get me over there where I don't belong. You're drawn away, enticed. And then when lust has conceived, all of these chains are fitting together. And because they have fit together, that desire, that lust has conceived, and it gives birth to sin. And sin brings death. Sin brings death. That big sneeze into the palm of the hand that grabs your hand and then you put your hand in your eye, that can be stopped. That can be destroyed right at the beginning. And it doesn't get to where it's going to end up. And so it is with temptation. Temptation is not sin. Let me tell you what temptation is. Temptation is the possibility of a testimony. You have a testimony to yourself. I know what I faced. I know what the devil tried, but I overcame him. It didn't work this time. Oh, he may get you tomorrow. But today, it did not work. Maybe tomorrow you'll remember that it didn't work yesterday. I'm going to do the same thing I did yesterday. I will walk past that section of magazines. I will walk past that shelf with the newest and greatest of brews. I will walk past that whatever. Fill in the blank. And I did it once, I can do it again. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. For if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world. Now, let me stop for a second and say, there are things out there that are good. I love having that king-size mattress and that fluffy pillow at night. That is not evil. What the Bible is saying here, there is a system out there that has as its head Satan, that part of the world. If you love that part of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. Listen, the world is passing away. Don't get too wrapped up in it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Most of you are already knowing where I'm going with this, but just hang on. There may be one that doesn't. I hope that this is new for somebody. Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" The serpent came to Eve. Now, I'm going to I'm going to say this because I believe it. Don't blame Eve. Don't blame Eve. Blame the one who is the head of the woman. That should have been the protector of the woman. That should have said, this is what Father God said, and this is what God meant. And tomorrow, say, Eve, do you remember what I told you yesterday? This is what Father God said, and this is what we cannot do. We can't. We can eat everything. We can eat everything, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we cannot eat. But that didn't happen. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. Did God say that? No. We were adding something to the word. There was some other requirement that's being added on. That makes me wonder, Adam, were you really doing your job? Were you really telling her what God said and what God meant? Dads, that's our job. As the spiritual high priest of our household, that's our job. Come on, Pastor. Amen. You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. That's the first lie. Coming from the father of lies. You will not surely die. For God knows, and you don't, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. First he lies, then he plants a seed of doubt in her that God doesn't really love me. That God's holding back something from me. If God truly loved me, God would do this, that, or the other. God would tell me this, that, or the other. If God really loved me. And listen what happens. For the woman saw the lust of the eyes. The tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree desirable to make one wise. Pride of life. Tree was good for fruit, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and a fruit that is desirable to make one wise, the pride of life. She took the fruit and she ate and gave it to her husband, and he did eat. What James wrote, what John wrote, and this is there because the Holy Spirit is wanting to make sure we understand something. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of God. My God, what hope is there? I told you that I wanted to share with you something that's going to make you wicked powerful. You already know it. Turn in your Bibles to the 4th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. This is really good news. You see, Adam and Eve, mankind did something in the garden that corrupted mankind all along forever. We're still suffering the things that happened back in the garden. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Amen? Amen? Jesus came to show us what the Father was like. Amen? Amen? God sent Jesus to show us exactly how much He loved us. Amen? Amen? Let's look at this for a second. Chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. How diabolos, the devil, the main dude, not an underling, the main guy. This is the guy that pushed the buttons of Herod the king. to kill all the babies born under 2 years old. This is the same guy that did all the things that he did in Israel to make sure that there was no seed that would come out of Israel. This is the devil that lied to Eve and brought her to the place where she ate the fruit. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I say that there is the gospel in Genesis chapter 3:15. God says, I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed. And you shall bruise his heel, but he shall bruise your head. That word bruise means crush, to cause a gaping wound. You think you won, Satan, but you didn't win. He's coming to defeat you. Jesus shows us something. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Mark says he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. Something had to be done. Something had to be accomplished. Something happened a long time ago that needed to be fixed. And now it's going to be fixed. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights after, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. The lust of the flesh. No big deal. You're not worshiping me. All you're doing is you're just feeding yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. If Jesus had done that, he would have found himself in direct opposition to the will of God. And let me say this too, before we get too far down this road. If Jesus had not had within himself the ability to fail, this would have never happened. Jesus is God on this earth, in a way. Jesus is man on this world. On this earth, fully. What are you saying? I'm saying this. The God-man, Jesus Christ. But he left something in heaven. That was the power to come to this earth and do all the things he did in the power of God. Because if he did it by being God, he has no right to say, lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. Why? We're not God. We have the Spirit of God in us and around us. And we do things the same way Jesus did, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus could have fallen to temptation, or he wasn't there. Or the temptation wouldn't have been there. The devil would not have been waiting for him. The lust of the flesh. But he answered and he said, it is written. Here is the... Both of these words are wrong words. Here is the solution to the confrontation with the devil anytime, anywhere. It is written. That's why we got to get in the book and stay in the book. Amen. When the world confronts us in situations that we don't know how to handle, we need to go back to the book.
Yes, sir.
It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
That's right, Pastor.
Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, the highest place there was in the temple. He said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Let me tell you, the devil knows this word about as good as anybody does. He's been being beaten with it for 2,000 years. He knows the word. But he doesn't have in himself the conviction of it being absolutely the truth. That only comes from us. This is not words printed on paper. This is the very Word of the living God. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and they will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, this old pride of life that you're throwing at me. Pride in being God and having the angels come down and pick me up. Ooh, that's pretty cool. That's demonstration of who I am. Jesus didn't fall for it. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The pride of life defeated by it is written. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Luke says, all these things I will give to you because they have been given to me. How? When Eve had the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You look across all the kingdoms of the world, all the way from Egypt and Babylon and the Medes and the Persians and the Romans to the Saracens to the Muslims to every kingdom that has ever been grown up in this world. You look at all those, and I will give every single one of these to you if you'll just fall down and worship me. The lust of the eyes. Turn stones into bread. That's the lust of the flesh. Cast yourself off this tower. That's the lust. Or the pride of life. And now he shows him everything. In a moment of time. Everything. It's all yours. Wow. Look at what I could have. The lust of the eyes. And Jesus says to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you will worship the Lord our God, and Him only will you serve. James says, don't say when you're tempted by God. God doesn't do that. But there is a system. A system that can be stopped. A progression that can be halted. A victory that can come. A test that will turn into a testimony. It can happen. Why? Because your greatest, your elder brother, your great elder brother, your Savior Jesus Christ, went the same way we do. He was tempted in all ways, just like us, yet without sin. Okay. How did he do that? What is the power? What is the reality that keeps temptation from leading us into death? Thus saith the Lord. Temptation is going to come every day of your life. Because you got somebody out there that wants your soul. He wants you to be separated from God. That's all He wants. And He's coming every day. But how are you going to win? Thus saith the Lord. The temptation to smoke, chew, and go with girls that do, that's going to come every day. How do you defeat it? But thus saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to close with this one verse of Scripture. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. Oh, wait a minute. You don't know about my temptation. I got big temptations. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. You're going through it. Somebody else is going through it too.
That's right.
You may be doing everything that you can do to stay away from that one cigarette. Just stay away from there. If I could get past this one. There's a drug addict out there searching for a hit of heroin. And the hit, your temptations are the very same. I need to qualify that. I'm not going to stand up here and say if you smoke a cigarette that you're going to hell. I've been told that in my life and I don't believe it. But God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. Who will not tempt you above what you are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. There it is. Boy, do I ever want to do that. Boy, do I ever want one of those. Boy, it would feel good if I could just put that down my neck. Boy, I'd really like to do that. Now's the time to say, okay, God, where is the door? Where is the way? How do I get out of this? What do I need to do? Why not do what Jesus did? Drop down into the word that God honors even above His name. Why not drop down into the word and say, God, you know what I'm going through right now. Get into that start at the first psalm. And start reading. Okay, it's not going to be long before you run into something that God said. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, God, you're right. And what was that temptation anyway? I've been in the Word of God. Where did that temptation go? Thus saith the Lord, I will make a way of escape that you might be able to bear. That's His promise. God is not a man that He should lie. He don't lie about these things. He says something, He means it. That's just the way God is. I want to close. I want you to take this home with you. And know that God has made a way. Temptation can just play havoc with you. But it can lead to your destruction if you don't nip it in the bud. Get the bolt cutters out and take that chain apart. You got something that's greater than any bolt cutter ever was. Sometimes we don't watch what we're doing. We think we know what we're doing, and all of a sudden, before we know it, we've done something that we wish to God we'd have never even thought of. Anybody ever been there like that, or is I'm going to have to put my hand in? Eagles flying around, as eagles do, looking for something to eat. It's springtime, coming out of winter, and there's big appetites after the snow falls. The eagle looks down towards the river. On the river, he sees ice floating down. In the middle of that ice, there's a rodent that's running around that little ice floe. As eagles do, he comes swooping in there like a bullet. Slams on his brakes on that ice. Grabs that little rodent in his talons and he goes to eat. Nice cool table. Beautiful sun out there. Warming up. Eats. And suddenly the eagle hears the roar up ahead. He looks over and he realizes that it's over the falls. Over the falls, hundreds of feet to the bottom. No problem. Eagle doesn't realize has been sitting there giving in to that temptation, that need that he has. The warmth of his body has melted the ice and now refroze it, and he can't get off the ice, and over the falls he goes. Saints, we need to watch what we're doing every moment of our life. When things get tough, and you know, bring out that Holy Ghost chain cutter and bust that chain right there, that we don't need to give in to temptation. I want you to say that with me this morning and let it get into your heart. I need not be tempted till sin. You're going to be tempted. And He's just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.